Well, praise the Lord. Please turn in your Bibles to the book of Matthew, chapter 3. Matthew chapter 3, beginning at verse 1. In those days, John the Baptist came preaching in the wilderness of Judea and saying, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. For this is he who was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah, saying, 'The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight.'" Now John himself was clothed in camel's hair with a leather belt around his waist, and his food was locusts and wild honey. Then Jerusalem, all Judea, and all the region around the Jordan went out to him and were baptized by him in the Jordan, confessing their sins. But when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees coming to his baptism, he said to them, "Brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Therefore bear fruits worthy of repentance, and do not think to say to yourselves, 'We have Abraham as our father.' For I say to you that God is able to raise up children to Abraham from these stones. And even now the axe is laid to the root of the trees. Therefore, every tree which does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he who is coming after me is mightier than I, whose sandals I am not worthy to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly clean out his threshing floor and gather his wheat into the barn, but he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire." John the Baptist was preaching, preparing the way. A voice crying out, his voice crying out. The voice crying out in the wilderness, "Prepare the way of the Lord, make his paths straight." A preacher preaching repentance. And the message of repentance is still the mandate of the true gospel. Forgiveness of sins on the basis of repentance. Grace and mercy shown on the basis of repentance. What must one do to be saved? Repent. This is the beginning. We all need saving. We all need rescue. We all need pardon. We all need freedom. Freedom from sin and sinfulness, from sinful nature. Freedom from death, hellfire, eternal damnation. O wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? Sounds like an old school message. The preaching of an old time preacher. And yet, it's the message and the preaching every school needs. You know, God, let it become the new school once again. Can you hear the voice crying in the wilderness? There are still preachers of repentance in the earth, those that understand the importance of the message. the critical need. The message has not changed, and the message will not change. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. John was preaching, and the Bible says that Jerusalem, all Judea, and all the region around the Jordan went out to him and were baptized by him in the Jordan, confessing their sins. The Bible way, repent and be baptized, every one of you, for the remission of sins. John was preaching, and John was baptizing, and people were coming to him. And the Bible says that he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees coming to his baptism, and he said to them, "Brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Therefore, bear fruits worthy of repentance, and do not think to say to yourselves, 'We have Abraham as our father.' For I say to you that God is able to raise up children to Abraham from these stones. And even now the axe is laid to the root of the trees. Therefore, every tree which does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire." What a way to greet this group. And yet, it was fitting. And it was right. Oh, for the voice of truth in this wilderness world, and the utterance of the pure and holy gospel. No soft sell gospel, no easy believism, no cheap grace, for my did it cost. The words of Dietrich Bonhoeffer, "Costly grace is the treasure hidden in the field. For the sake of it, a man will go and sell all that he has. It is the pearl of great price to buy which the merchant will sell all his goods. It is the kingly rule of Christ for those for whose sake a man will pluck out the eye which causes him to stumble. It is the call of Jesus Christ at which the disciple leaves his nets and follows him." Costly grace is the gospel which must be sought again and again, the gift which must be asked for, the door at which a man must knock. John was preaching, and John couldn't and John wouldn't preach anything less than the whole truth and nothing but the truth. God help us, because he knew the ramifications of a lesser gospel, a false gospel being delivered. You see, John the Baptist preachers know full well the weight of the responsibility. They function and operate out of holy fear. Fear of God. Fear of God, not fear of man. Truth at all cost, for only then is peace possible. And the Bible clearly says in James 3:1, "My brethren, be not many masters, knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation." Stricter judgment. That word masters, teacher, in the New Testament, one who teaches concerning the things of God and the duties of man, one who is fitted to teach or thinks himself so, of those who by their great power as teachers draw crowds around them, by preeminence used of Jesus himself as one who showed men the way of salvation, of the apostles and of Paul, of those who in the religious assemblies of the Christians undertook the work of teaching with the special assistance of the Holy Spirit. Reading from the Amplified Bible, "For you know that we who are teachers will be judged by a higher standard because we have assumed greater accountability and more condemnation if we teach incorrectly." If Fear of God, not fear of man. Knowing this, how can we preach smooth things? How can we preach so to comfort itching ears? How can we dilute the gospel? How can we deliver that which is less than the standard of the word of God? Preach the word. Only the truth makes free. John was a true man of God, and the message was clear and pure. It was foretold of John the Baptist, Luke 1:17, he will also go before him in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready what? To make ready a people prepared for the Lord. The people prepared for the Lord. Reading from the Gospel of Luke, Luke 3, beginning at verse 7. Then he said to the multitudes that came out to be baptized by him, brood of vipers, offspring of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Therefore, bear fruits worthy of repentance and do not begin to say to yourselves, we have Abraham as our father. For I say to you that God is able to raise up children to Abraham from these stones. And even now the axe is laid to the root of the trees. Therefore every tree which does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. So the people asked him, saying, what shall we do then? He answered and said to them, he who has two tunics, let him give to him who has none. And he who has food, let him do likewise. Then tax collectors also came to be baptized and said to him, teacher, what shall we do? He said to them, collect no more than what is appointed for you. Likewise, the soldiers asked him, saying, and what shall we do? So he said to them, do not intimidate anyone or accuse falsely, and be content with your wages. Now, as the people were in expectation and all reasoned in their hearts about John, whether he was the Christ or not, John answered, saying to all, I indeed baptize you with water, but one mightier than I is coming, whose sandal strap I am not worthy to loose. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly clean out his threshing floor and gather the wheat into his barn, but the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire. John knew his place. John knew his role. John knew the call upon his life. This man was called to prepare the way. Those words, his words. I indeed baptize you with water under repentance, but he who is coming after me is mightier than I, whose sandals I am not worthy to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly clean out his threshing floor and gather his wheat into the barn. But he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. The mightier than I, whose sandals I am not worthy to carry, whose sandal strap I am not worthy to loose. The mightier than I is Jesus. We know the words of the Pentecost preacher found in Acts 2:38 and 39. Peter said to them, repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission, that is, forgiveness of sins. And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, for the promise is to you and to your children. Hear the good news today. And to all who are afar off, as many as the Lord our God will call. And yet, here is John already preaching the Peter package. Repent. Peter water baptized. And yes, be fire baptized. You know, sadly, many have not so much as heard whether there be any Holy Ghost. Not much preaching about the Holy Ghost. About the need for fire. The baptism of Jesus. This church knows the message. This church knows this threefold cord. This trinity of the faith. This triune application. This three and one of salvation. Luke 3, verses 16 and 17, John answered, saying to all, I indeed baptize you with water, but one mightier than I is coming, whose sandal strap I am not worthy to loose. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly clean out his threshing floor and gather the wheat into his barn, but the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire. Church, note that the quotation ends at verse 17. He, the mightier than I, will baptize you with the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit, and fire. But John didn't end there. Verse 17, his winnowing fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly clean out his threshing floor and gather the wheat into his barn. But the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire. The Lord is concerned with the pure gospel being preached in this city, in all cities, towns and villages, in this province, in this nation, and the nations of the world. And he is still calling and backing those of the John the Baptist camp. The voice of one crying in the wilderness. What kind of a location is that for a preacher? And yet they came. They came to hear. The voice of one. One voice. Crying in the wilderness. Again, those words, one mightier than I is coming, whose sandal strap I'm not worthy to loose. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fan is in his hand. And he will thoroughly clean out his threshing floor and gather the wheat into his barn. But the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire. A fan. A winnowing fan. A winnowing fork, a winnowing shovel. The means used to separate the wheat from the chaff. And the text is clear, for he will thoroughly purge his floor. And he will gather his wheat into his barn, but the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire. If it be only one voice, and if there be only one voice preaching the pure message, hear that voice. It matters not what the masses are preaching if they are preaching from a diseased manuscript. It matters not what the masses are receiving if they are receiving from a diseased manuscript. In these days, church, hear the preaching in the wilderness. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Is this not the time for the bride to make ready? To be made ready? The voice of one preparing the way of the Lord, making ready a people prepared for the Lord, not unprepared. Prepared. In a wilderness world. And what of a wilderness Christianity? One would cry, preach to us smooth things. Well, if that be the cry for the smooth, pure path of the undefiled gospel, void of worldly debris and compromise, so be it. Can we receive from the text today? And what here for those endeavoring to follow Christ? Those that want Him in His ways. Those that want to be perfected. Those that want to live as He desires. Those that want the fullness of gospel life and living. The words of David Wilkerson, I know some will not receive what I'm about to say, yet many will. I do not believe we have yet seen the glory and fullness of the outpouring of the Holy Spirit as prophesied by Joel. What we have seen are just a few sprinkles. Yes, we have had a worldwide charismatic renewal, and love has brought many together. It has been an experience shared worldwide, yet it is just a foretaste. God will permit nothing to hinder what He plans to do. The enemy is in for a surprise. Just as it appears the church will be inundated by a satanic flood, the Spirit will raise up a standard. Understand what that standard is, and you will understand what God is about to do. The standard is a holy people, pure, undefiled, delivered from the corruption that is in the world. The standard is a new breed of sanctified Christians who will shine forth as lights in the midst of a wicked and perverse generation. It will not just be a renewal of love and praise, but a restoration of holiness unto the Lord. Get ready. There will still be shouting and praise, but it will be the shout of victory over sin and compromise. Fulfilling the purpose of the last outpouring, that all who call on His name shall be delivered, Joel 2:32. Delivered from what? From sin. And from the spirit of the world. We will not have had the fullness of the Spirit's outpouring until baptized people separate themselves completely from the world. We must emphasize separation and purity of heart. The purpose of the Spirit's coming is to sanctify and prepare a people for the Lord's return, a people without spot or wrinkle. I mean, read the last chapter of the Holy Book. When the fullness of the Spirit's outpouring comes upon all flesh, conviction for sin will be everywhere. He will convict the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment, John 16:8. That is the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Tragically, too many speak with tongues but then live like the devil. Sin was never uprooted, and all they received was an experience of ecstasy. God blessed them just enough to call them into a deeper life of holiness and submission, but they stopped and went about saying, I've got the Holy Ghost. Oh, there is so much more. I thank God for the privilege of praying in an unknown tongue. It is my way of releasing all the pent-up praises to God in a communication beyond my understanding. But you can speak with the tongues of men and even angels, and without charity you've received nothing. But I say it goes even deeper. You are not truly baptized with the Holy Spirit until every hidden part of your soul has been exposed and every sin confessed and forsaken. Matthew 3, verses 11 and 12, reading out of the KJV. I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I'm not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost, with fire, whose fan is in his hand. And he will thoroughly purge his floor and gather his wheat into the garner, but he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. The Message paraphrase reads, I'm baptizing you here in the river, turning your old life in for a kingdom life. The real action comes next. The main character in this drama, compared to him, I'm a mere stagehand. He will ignite the kingdom life within you. A fire within you, the Holy Spirit within you, changing you from the inside out. Can we see it? Jesus, the one who baptizes us with the Holy Ghost and fire, has in his hand a fan. A winnowing fan. Some translations say a winnowing fork or shovel. And yes, this picture is correct. However, might the Spirit show us another picture today? A fan. A fan in his hand. A winnowing fan. Used to fan. Used to cleanse. In order to remove chaff, to get rid of the undesirable. Oh, may the Spirit speak. Listen, I am by no means trying to create something here. But perhaps the Lord would give us a picture of what He aims to do in our lives. Every life, a threshing floor. And He wants to cleanse. A repentant people, a baptized people, a people baptized with the Holy Ghost and fire, and the Lord Jesus fanning the flames of purification and holiness. That the chaff be burned up and that only the wheat remain, that we become His wheat. What good is it if we speak with tongues but then live like the devil? What good is it if we boldly proclaim the message of the gospel and yet live like the devil and partake of devilish delights? And what of chaff allowance? Is there such a thing? See, the Lord Jesus wants the chaff burned up. We know that the Holy Ghost, the fire of the Holy Ghost, purifies. This is a great work of Holy Ghost fire. One might say I'm out on a limb. But I can see it, and I'm asking, Jesus, fan the flames, the Holy Ghost. Purify your people. Purify your church. Ignite the kingdom life within us, the fire within us, the Holy Ghost within us, changing us from the inside out. We want to be bold witnesses, but we want to be pure witnesses. We want you, Jesus, to burn the chaff out of us, that we might be your wheat in a fleeting world. The words of a preacher, the first thing which my mind perceives is a winnowing fan. I would like to be able to use it, but it is far better that it should remain where it is, for the fan is in His hand, and He will thoroughly purge His floor. Church, we need rid of counterfeit love. We need rid of works of the flesh, of jealousy, envy, strife, crude communication, entertainment, and social following and interaction. We need rid of idolatry and fornication. We need rid of it all. What place do these have in our lives? and in the lives of a people prepared for the Lord. You say, hey, I came to be encouraged today. All right, I encourage you to be holy as he is holy. I encourage you to be marked by the ensign of the gospel. I encourage you to be in this world and not of this world. All part light, no part dark. Mix not the holy and the unholy. Be encouraged. Further words. We have sadly much of these evils in these days, not only openly in our streets, but in more secret ways. I loathe the subject. All works of art which are contrary to modesty are here condemned, and the most pleasing poetry if it creates impure imaginations. These unclean things are the works of the flesh in the stage of putridity. The very maggots which swarm within a corrupt soul. Bury these rotten things out of our sight. I do but uncover them for an instant, that a holy disgust might be caused in every Christian soul, and that we may flee from them as from the breath of pestilence. Yet remember, O you that think yourselves pure and imagine you would never transgress so badly, that even into these loathsome and abominable criminalities high professors have fallen, yes, and sincere believers trusting in themselves have slipped into this ditch from where they have escaped with infinite sorrow to go with broken bones for the rest of their pilgrimage. Alas, how many who have seemed to be escaped from pollution have so fallen that they have had to be saved so as by fire. Oh, may we keep our garments unspotted by the flesh. And this we cannot do unless it is in the power and energy of the Spirit of holiness. We must purge, he must purge these evils from us and cause his fruit to so abound in us that the deeds of the flesh shall be excluded forever. The winnowing fan is used against the counterfeits of the love of God. I refer to the falsities of superstition, idolatry, and witchcraft. But the fruit of the Spirit is love. Alas, there are some that fall into idolatry, for they trust in an arm of flesh and exalt the creature into the place of the Creator. Their God is their belly, and they glory in their shame. The golden calf of wealth, the silver shrines of craft, the goddess of philosophy, the Diana of fashion, the Moloch of power. These are all worshipped instead of the living God. Those who profess to reverence the true God, yet too generally worship him in ways which he has not ordained. Thus says the Lord, you shall not make unto you any graven image, or any likeness of anything that is heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. You shall not bow down yourself to them, nor serve them. We can have the worship team return today. Jesus, fan the flames. Fan the flames of the Holy Ghost. Purify your floor. Purge your floor. Cleanse your floor. The floor of your church. The floor of our lives. The floors of our homes. Is any chaff minor? Why not ask the one with the fan in his hand? Where is the prayer and the cry and the song, Lord, burn away the chaff? Oh, it's been sung. And it's a glorious song. What is his wheat like? Loving, joyful. peaceful, for blessed are the peacemakers. Long-suffering, kind, good, faithful, gentle, self-controlled. What is his wheat like? Pure, righteous, holy, upright. If you do not know Jesus, chafe no longer against the message of hope. For now is the time of salvation. Today is the day for chaff to be turned to wheat. It can begin today as you surrender your life and bow before Jesus in true repentance. Oh, my Jesus, fan the flames of the Holy Ghost. Preparing the way for the Lord. There was John preaching, preparing the way. Jesus showed up on the scene. And now the Lord is, he's no longer here with us in that sense. But he's coming back. And now is the time for the preparing of the way of the risen Lord, our coming Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the one who shall return. Now is the time for the preparing of the way. Now is the time to make ready a people prepared for the Lord, that when he returns, his people are ready. Lord, help us. Perhaps you're here today and you haven't so much as heard whether there be a Holy Ghost. You know, obviously, this baptism of fire was very important. Because John said, I baptize you with water under repentance. But there's somebody coming, he's so much greater than I am. He's mightier than I am. I'm just, compared to him, a mere stagehand. We're talking about Jesus. And he's coming and he's going to baptize with the Holy Ghost and fire. That's the full gospel. And then he's going to purify those that he's baptized. He's going to fan the flame. He's going to work on us. We need this experience. Don't stop short of the experience. My encouragement to you today is desire the fire and claim your flame. Let's stand in the house of the Lord. If you'd like prayer today for any reason, please slip out of your seat and make your way to the front as we close here today. If you don't know Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior, take a step today. Come and repent and surrender your life that you might find life. And if you know that you need that fanning of the flame in your heart, in your life, in your world, in your home, begin to cry out, Lord, burn away the chaff. Burn away the chaff. We want to be a people prepared for you, Lord, made ready for you, God.